Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, I think it's probably justice if we do a bit of a quick wrap-up or a wash-up of the footy grand finals.
That sounds great. It's been a little while because we couldn't get a show done last week.
No.
I was a bit busy last week, Rick, well, you're so I apologise.
You're a businessman of your ability.
Oh, you know, that's what it is.
It is. It is. So, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with the BLNG, the local.
Yes, what are your thoughts?
I didn't make the grand final, Rick, so you're going to have to tell me what sort of game the O-grade was.
It was a good game. It was a good game, played in perfect conditions. To be truthful, the right side won. I think Newry, they'd beaten them every time during the season. And the big chance, and I think we might have mentioned this in an earlier show, the only chance Tanunda really had, I thought, was if Kurtz had a day out.
Mm.
And he had a day out, but he had a day off because he got injured in the first quarter very seriously, and we didn't see him again. So they were at their best ruckman down. I mean, I don't think that's the absolute answer because I think Newry were the favourites. Well, they weren't in my opinion, but without Kurtz, they were really behind the eight ball.
And he's had a couple of operations on it. I was talking to Tanunda player yesterday, and that he's had a fair bit of trouble with it. So quite a real bad corky, I guess you call it.
Horrific swelling. So I think they even had to cut him open to try and reduce the swelling.
I think he's had two operations.
To get blood flow because it can be very, very nasty. It was a great game. The brothers, too, from Newry.
They're brilliant, aren't they?
They were fantastic. And I actually heard Slattery say that he really couldn't separate, you know, who was the best players for them. But he said, you know, you could throw a towel over they deserved the victory.
And the local lad, Brad Hopner, he would end up getting the medal for the best on ground. Whether he was, I watched it on live stream. I watched it on the Saturday night. They streamed it on Facebook live. And so I watched it. A replay of that.
Yes.
And I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was a good standard game. Yep. And, you know, somebody has to win it. And, of course, you know, the wise people who were put in their 3-2-1 votes, I mean, no one ever puts in the same ones.
Yeah.
And he totted up the victory.
Yep.
And I wouldn't, you know, doubt that. I thought the brothers too were probably my pick.
Probably throw a... You know, over the whole lot, and they're all about the same, there you go.
So
another year's done.
Another year's done and dusted, I guess.
Angaston back-to-back and the Bees will quickly...
Yes,
You saw a great game in the 17s.
There's no doubt.
The game of the day,
It was the game of the day. I mean, it was like a fairy tale. Tanunda started the game against Willesden as favourites and led... From go to nearly woe. there was nothing other than a kick in it basically
I think it's
all day long.
2 minutes to go or something.
But for the first time, Willieston got in front with 3 minutes to go.
3 minutes to go,
won it. But it was a great close contest. Mm. So
and the 15s was a pretty good game too because I did talk to you at half time. You said, this game's over.
Yes.
And Willieston were in front quite comfortably. And you rang me back and said, no, Newry's got up by a couple or a goal.
It was a great day, and there were some lovely photographs in the local papers, aerial shots, a big crowd.
Yeah. 6,500, I heard.
Yeah.
So that's a good crowd.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's that. All over. Red
done
Roman.
And dusted.
Now we've got the SANFL, Phil.
Well, 27-year wait, hey, for North Adelaide, the almighty Roosters.
Well, it was also one of the great games of footy I've seen played.
Absolutely.
I really do like the rule interpretation as distinct from the AFL sets of rules about, you know, balls out of bounds and all this sort of stuff.
And no ticky touch would freeze.
No.
It was
a classy game. And and there's no doubt that on the day, North Adelaide deserved to win. There's absolutely, I guess, you know, I've got to mention it. I guess there's always going to be this slight shadow over the whole thing in the sense of did they or wouldn't they, should
if
they have been there?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
But I think we've got to say, well, that's the way it decided. And then the two teams played and that was a very, very good game to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoyed it and enjoyed the final before when they supposedly had that 19 on the ground. It was a cracker game. I mean, it's two real good. And 40-odd thousand in the grand final.
Yes.
That's brilliant. A fantastic crowd.
Fantastic result.
Yes, Arnefield couldn't be happier with that.
And then, so we've really got the trifecta because now we go to the AFL.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't one of the great grand finals of all time, I'll go here as well.
Agree. And the right team won, I think.
Well, the right team, I personally think, should have won by more, to be honest. Mm. I mean, what a sensational start for the Pies to get five goals in the first quarter. Wow. But after those five goals were scored, I actually, even at the time, and I know it sounds smart with hindsight, I thought West Coast really got on top. And really, I was a bit surprised that it took them so long to get to the lead. Mm. And I thought, you know, gee whiz, you know, those two big blokes down front, Kennedy and Darling.
They don't get any smaller as the day goes on.
Well, they don't.
And what, was it Darling hardly had a touch in that first half?
I mean, the change about, I mean, whether Sumo got into him at half time, although he reckons he just was aware that he hadn't played well, his third quarter was absolutely sensational.
Yep.
And not making an inference and knocking necessarily our boys up front like Tex Walker or Charlie Dixon, but the big difference is those blokes can catch the ball. They mark it.
And then they kick 60 metres just on a one step. Yeah.
But you can hardly remember Charlie Dixon or Tex Walker taking a clear mark. Right. And those blokes mark the ball as if no one's around them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, West Coast have got that huge advantage when, you know, you start of the last quarter, you just send down 6'9" Vardy to stand there and catch a couple of balls as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming back from a recon and, you know, from ex-Geelong. Yeah. And, you know, he's just grown another leg, basically, isn't he?
And what a classy game it was. You know, I mean, I guess all footy is nice when the result is close, but all three that we've just discussed were classy games.
And I thought capably led by the should have been all Australian captain in Shannon Hearn.
Local Barossa boy. Oh. I mean, that is a stunning result, you know. You couldn't ask for a nicer bloke to cap
absolutely.
Off. I mean, I'm not saying his career's over, but what a way to cap off the back end of his career.
Well, that's right. He has turned 31. He's just turned 31. So,
but he's a sort of general of the defence down there, isn't he? You know, when the going gets tough, he bobs up all over the place.
Doesn't panic.
No he's panic.
Just, you know, so
And the other thing, not just to pat your comrades on the back, but I thought in all three grand finals as well, I don't think I've ever seen better umpiring.
No, didn't notice them.
No, and that's the way it's meant to be. I can't remember all three grand finals any really controversial, outrageous.
Even that last one, they said that the guy shepherded him. He was just standing there. The guy had to run around him.
That's right.
You know.
But I thought they were all very, very good.
Yep.
Probably it was helped because Razor wasn't there.
Exactly right. I tell you what. Now, there's a couple, while we're on the AFL, a couple on the move or looking to go on the move. Jakey Need, Jack Homch, and Carl Amon.
Well.
On the move,
they
reckon.
Can I open the door for them? Or?
And I'll push. I reckon three fringes going there.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't picked anybody up, but that'll be the draft, I suppose, the national draft, which is next week, I believe.
Well,
so.
Without being harsh, I don't think Port will really miss any of them.
No.
I mean, the best of them, I think, is Homchy.
I agree.
I think the way the Port forward line's their big problem. The back line has been played and did play consistently very well. And Homch actually didn't find his way into that newfound formation.
No, he was only a link if someone was around.
Exactly.
Yeah, he came
And
in.
So he's probably better off going somewhere. Mm. The rumour, I think, is Gold Coast.
Where you'll get a game every week.
Well, exactly.
Whereas you and me would get one up there.
whereas down here, he would be lucky. The only way he'd get a game is through injury, really.
Yeah,
so
that's
for
right.
his
that's
own
what
future.
He was doing, basically.
And
Westy signed on another year.
Yes.
Westhoff. So that's good news. Had his best year in the 12 years so far. He starts his 13th year, and I think that's his best year.
I would say without doubt his best year. Mm. I mean, there was a period of time there where I really thought that he was a non-required player.
I think that's how he was looking. Yes, yeah.
And his last year or so has been a complete...
consistency.
Yes.
Yep. That's what the difference is.
There we go.
So, now, Rick, getting off of footy, where that's all done and dusted, the cricket season's around the corner, and I believe Saka have changed their board around a bit again.
Well, the Saka, I believe, Phil, have done it again. Now, we won't go through the technicalities of the whole thing, but as you know and we've discussed on this show before, the Saka got themselves into a fair bit of strife over... their attempt to reduce the number of sides in now what's called the Premier League competition or the old A-grade competition when they wanted to get rid of two of the oldest clubs going, West Torrens and Port Adelaide, or at least one of them, or amalgamate them or something. And there was a huge kerfuffle over the fact that that was not a good concept at all. Now, it got to the point where there was even a... parliamentary select committee formed to look into the workings of the Saka board, and they came up with a finding that absolutely a damning report criticising the governance structure of the Saka board. Now, the Saka's response to that was, right, we're going to have to rewrite the constitution and financial setup, which they did. Which they proudly announced last year that 94% of the members voted in favour of accepting the new constitution. Well, that's...
I reckon they've left out something there, haven't they?
They forgot the word who.
Oh, okay.
It was 94% of those who voted. Out of the 25,000, actually, there was only... something like
2,400, I think.
Oh no, that's you're getting slightly ahead of right, but that's the new one. But the original one, they claimed that 94% had voted.
Yep.
Actually, of those who voted, it was only 26% of members because there were only about 6,868 people who voted.
Okay.
So it doesn't read quite as well when it's dropped from 94.
They just messed the percentages there a bit, all.
Now, funnily enough, they've just announced in their second news the results of the new board elections.
Oh.
Yep.
Did you get on?
And
are you on?
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't.
Chris Arms.
I didn't run. Anyway, so they've done the same trick again. They've actually announced that the three people who got the votes were the one and only ex-Australian wicketkeeper Rod Marsh, Rebecca Hayes and Sally Nias, who was a returning.
Marsh doesn't even live here, does he?
Well, that's funny you should mention that because... they claim that there were 7,263 votes. Well, they've done the trick again because actually only 2,400...
Oh, that's where I came in.
2,421 people voted, but they got three votes on their voting slip. So that actually represents 9.68% of the membership who actually voted the board. Now, we won't keep the statistics
the stats
flowing.
Stats go on a bit, don't they?
But amongst this new constitution, hidden away, they've got what's called the Nominations Committee, which is supposedly headed up by an independent committee.
Oh, okay.
Right, consisting of two board members.
Oh, that's not independent then.
I'm not sure that they're that independent. And also, quoting Saka, the Saka board has unanimously endorsed the appointment of its inaugural independent chair of the Nominations Committee, Mr. Stephen Gerlach, AM. Well, independent. Let me tell you about Mr. Gerlach. He's been a member of SACA since 1968, and would you believe, he was the longtime managing partner of Finlaysons. You may well ask who are Finlaysons.
I was going to ask you that.
They have been the SACA's external legal advisors for many years. So I'm not sure that he's totally independent either,
sounds
is
like
he?
A boys' club there or something, yeah, hey?
I think they've been down and had a couple of meetings with the Crows.
Wow, it goes on. That saga goes on.
And just to finish it, this is how well this nominations committee is meant to vet people who put their hand up who want to stand for election, and also to look at their platform statements. Now, would you believe that Rod Marsh, in his platform statement, said, and I'm going to find it here just to make sure that I don't get misquoted, quote, "We've lived in Adelaide the last 27 years. Well, I've got a lot of friends in the cricketing world, and that's come as a big shock to all of us. But he only got round to joining the SACA in 2018. So he must have been very busy in those 27 years, I reckon.
I thought his coach in England was something there.
You know, in 2000, he took up a position in the UK as director of the English and Wales Cricket Board National Academy.
Well, he wouldn't have been living in Australia Adelaide then.
Unless it was by remote control. And then in 2003, he became an English test selector and even said, quote, "I'm now 100% loyalty to English cricket."
I hope he's not now.
Well, the nominations board surely would have checked to see that he'd renounced that, I would have thought. Yeah. So there you go.
And looks perhaps, like we're in for a big season again.
Well, it could be. And the interesting thing is that the whole of this SACA inquiry started with the concept that they wanted to reduce the number of A-grade clubs, right? Now, would you believe that Rod Marsh, old iron gloves, right? Rod Marsh, back in 2008... after he'd had a three-year stint as high-performance consultant with SACA, one of his recommendations was, and I'll quote again to make sure that I'm not misquoted, he, amongst other things, wanted, quote, "a reduction in the number of grade clubs." So there we go. The SACA's back to where it was started, and I reckon that's the way they like it. How's that? All right. Now, Phil, I think we've got to round close up soon, but
yes,
congratulations, Phil.
Oh, what on?
I've heard that you are now about to make your debut as a
Premier League bowler.
A Premier League lawn bowler.
For the Salisbury Club.
Well, that is a fantastic achievement.
Tender age of 55.
Well, I was going to say, for such a young bloke to get a Guernsey.
I only look young.
You do. Speaking of that, did you hear about the bloke? He was by far the oldest player in the lawn bowls team.
Yep.
And despite his family wanting and pleading for him to retire, he wouldn't. In fact, he said the only day he wouldn't play was August the 23rd because that was the day he went for his annual autopsy.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. So who does Salisbury play in the first?
We play Paynham at home at Salisbury. So on the home deck. Yes. So looking forward to it.
Yes.
Yep.
And they're a very successful club, Paynham, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they go all right.
They do.
They're on artificial. They've got artificial greens there. Yeah. So, we'll play them on the grass.
Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
And that's wonderful. I know you've been a complete dedicated bowler for a long time and that's justice, if ever there's been any.
Thank you.
That's good.
Cheers.
All right. Well, we've probably gone over time, but nevertheless, it's been good fun. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.